going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With all the speculation and chaos, it's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2025 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on Infinity Sports Network in 3, 2, 1. With the first overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select
Cam Ward, quarterback, University of Miami.
There we go. Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com takes Cam Ward going to the Tennessee Titans with the first overall selection of the 2025 NFL draft. Paul, clearly a lot has been said about the quarterbacks in this draft and not in a very glowing fashion. What do you think the ceiling of Cam Ward could be for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think there's certainly potential for him to turn out to be a very good player. You know, some of the comps from some of the experts out there who are draftniks, which I am not, are very appealing. Some people are talking about some Patrick Mahomes qualities. I don't think they're thinking he's Patrick Mahomes. And you know, his best stuff on tape is certainly very impressive, but there are other concerns. You know that. His accuracy, his decision-making, his lower body mechanics are things that maybe are the kind of things that are hard to fix, and that he comes in with some of those things set largely as they are that maybe can't be improved too much.
You know, Tennessee hasn't really had a franchise quarterback, you know, star potential since Steve McNair. Mike Borgonzi comes in the first year general manager. There was a debate for a little bit. Should you maybe trade the pick? Should you maybe take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? What is your understanding of the process that got them, in your opinion, to probably taking Cam Ward number one overall tomorrow night?
Well, I think they gradually fell in love with him, certainly. At his pro day, when he had a rollout pass and went right, it took him right to Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, the two top executives in personnel, and said, "I'm solidifying it today," in good humor, which was a good sign. He performed well there, and then the week after, when they had a private workout with him, at which Amy Adams Strunk, the team's owner, made an appearance in Coral Gables, Florida, which is a really rare thing, not just for the Titans, I think for virtually any team that doesn't have, an owner who's their general manager. But also, look, we know how this works. If you're a quarterback needy team with the first pick in the draft, it's very difficult for you not to be drawn to the best quarterback in that draft. And, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter be damned.
He is Paul Kaharsky. PaulKaharsky.com covers the Tennessee Titans, and he has them taking Cam Ward with the first overall pick. We'll make our next stop, and we'll head to Cleveland.
With the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns select
Travis Hunter. He is the best player in the draft. He's from Colorado. He's a cornerback and a wide receiver.
And that's the voice of Adam the Bull, obviously the ultimate Cleveland sports show, kind enough to join us right now as the Cleveland Browns at number two take Travis Hunter. Why do you think this is ultimately the pick? Because for the last month and a half, 2 months, we've heard Abdul Carter, we've heard Travis Hunter, even a lot of people talking about Shador Sanders. When the draft comes tomorrow, why does Andrew Berry take Travis Hunter?
Ultimately, it's pretty simple. You obviously need a quarterback. The Browns have needed a quarterback forever. They don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of a first-round selection. That's been made pretty clear publicly. Now, obviously, there's a lot of misinformation this time of year, but what I've heard behind the scenes matches up what we've heard, what we've what's been speculated publicly. They don't totally buy in. They think there's too many question marks involved with all these quarterbacks. And then the difference between Hunter and Carter, to me, it's easy. One guy, they're both great. They'll both probably be great players. But one guy can play two positions, including wide receiver, on an offense that has very little talent, and the other one plays one position. So to me, it's a simple answer. Take the guy that could potentially be a Pro Bowler at two spots, because I think the Browns have to be aggressive and have to, at least to some degree, let him play both ways, even though some people cannot, especially old school football people, cannot wrap their head around it.
Yeah, we've heard Andrew Berry say that they think of him as a wide receiver first, but you know that they're going to let him play both ways with the Cleveland Browns. We touched on the quarterback a little bit. We know they pick early in the second round, sitting there with the first overall selection in the second round at 33. If a quarterback starts to fall, could you see them trading back up into the first round? And if not, then do you expect at 33 them to definitely take a quarterback?
I would not rule out a trade up. Maybe even as high as trying to get a hold ahead of the Steelers, who could potentially take a quarterback. But you ask me to bet right now, 24 some odd hours before the draft, my guess is they stay put at 33. I know they like Jalen Milroe. I know they like Tyler Shuck. I think the odds that both of those guys are not there at 33 to me is very unlikely. And ultimately, if you've decided there's no quarterback worth taking it to, I can't imagine that they'll now trade a first-round pick next year to get up into the 20s to break a tie between a couple of guys who have potential but are far from sure things. So I do think they stick at 33 is the most likely scenario, and I think they will take either Jalen Milroe or Shuck at 33.
Are they totally out on Shador?
I'd be stunned if they took him at two. I think the consensus in the building is that he's a good player, but he's flawed enough that they can't pass up on Travis Hunter. I am always a guy that's like, you got to take the quarterback. You got to take the quarterback. And for a while, I was on with drafting Shador Sanders. I just think they don't believe enough in any of those guys, including Shador. They think there's too many holes that they can't pass up on Travis Hunter, who seems as close to a sure thing, nobody's a sure thing, but it seems as close to a sure thing. Plus, and this would be the case with Sanders too, the reason I kind of like the idea of Hunter and Milroe as the first two picks, the Browns have ignored character concerns for a number of years now. And both Travis Hunter and Jalen Milroe not only are very talented players, especially Hunter, Milroe obviously more of a project, but they're both through the roof, high character, high intangible players. And the Browns need some of that in this locker room.
He's Adam the Bull from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, taking Travis Hunter with Cleveland with the second overall pick. We go from Cleveland to where Bull used to live, and that is New York. And we'll see who the Giants have with the third overall selection.
With the third overall pick, the New York Giants select
Abdul Carter, edge rusher, Penn State.
And that's the voice of Sean Marash from the WFAN Afternoon Show, Evan and Tiki, and he joins us right now. Abdul Carter going to the Giants at three. Here's been the big topic of conversation, Sean. I think we all know it's going to be Abdul Carter coming up tomorrow night, but there's been a lot of speculation and talk leading into this process of the Giants just taking Shador Sanders at three. Are you good with them passing on Shador at three to to take Abdul Carter.
Yes, but card subject to change if he goes and has a Bo Nix type of year. Look, the one thing the Giants can't leave this draft without is an identity. An identity that, for better or worse, they lost when Saquon Barkley left the New York Giants. By taking Abdul Carter third overall, they continue to build in the trenches off of the Brian Burns trade a year ago. You have Dexter Lawrence. You did what you did in the offseason with Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland, and I think this is going to be a tenacious get-after-it defense, and this is going back to old-school defensive Giant football as an identity, and that's what Abdul Carter provides.
Personally, I think Abdul Carter's the preeminent player in this draft. You mentioned Dexter Lawrence. We know he's one of the better defensive linemen in this league. Brian Burns, they went in for him last year. He's a very good player. What about Kayvon Thibodeau? What do you think his future with the Giants has in store?
Well, look, the Giants have another week or so to determine his fifth-year option, and I think probably a lot of that determination will be made on whether they do, in fact, pull the trigger here on Abdul Carter. Here's what I would say. If they are taking Abdul Carter, I really hope that they don't just turn around and dump Kayvon Thibodeau for another third-round pick or something like that. If you're creating this identity, drop a pass rush in waves, similar to the last time the Giants were relevant when they actually had a pass rush in waves, and think about that at the end of the year, or perhaps move him at the trade deadline if the Giants slip out of this thing early. But the future, the immediate future, I hope is Kayvon Thibodeau remaining a New York Giant for 2025.
Now, Sean Marash, it's been a rough year, obviously, the last past year for Joe Shane. I think he could win this first round or maybe win the first two rounds if he could get Abdul Carter at 3 and then either trade back up into the first round or at pick 34. I don't think Shador will be available there, but if he get both of them, that would be a wonderful job. What are you hearing on the Giants QB plan if they do pass up on a quarterback at 3? Who are they really liking right now?
So I think it comes down to two guys. I think that there is a split within that organization on how much they like Shador Sanders, and I think that the reports, I know Peter Schrager had this, are true that Brian Daboll is at least enticed with Jackson Dart. I think the Giants missing out on both of those guys and settling for a Tyler Shook or a Jalen Milroe, let's say at pick 34, or if you traded up and went back into late in the first round for either of those two guys, something like that, I think would be a complete waste of draft capital for the New York Giants. So I think the Giants, by taking Abdul Carter 3, which I think they will do, they're going to try to have their cake and eat it too, and I would expect them to be very, very active. And one team to keep an eye on, Dan Morgan, the general manager of the Panthers, who orchestrated that deal with Brian Burns and Joe Shane a year ago. They have a good working relationship, the two GMs, Panthers and Giants, and the Saints sit there at 9. I don't think it would be stunning at all if suddenly we're sitting there in the top 10, and here come the Giants again, moving all the way up to 8 if Shador Sanders slides, or even if it's Daboll getting his wish with Jackson Dart to prevent the Saints from getting him, and the Panthers could prevent their division rival from getting a franchise quarterback.
If you're listening to us right now, you hear that voice, you know he's Mraz. Now he goes by Sean Morash of WFAN, and he has Abdul Carter going to the Giants at 3. Now let's head to Foxborough as the Patriots are on the clock with the 4th overall pick.
The 4th overall pick, the New England Patriots select
Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State.
Wow, our first shocker here on the Zach Gelb Show for the top 10 mock drafted. It comes from our old pal Fitzy from Sports Radio WEEI in Boston. Fitzy, I need a little bit more of an explanation on this one because I haven't seen anybody but yourself potentially predict that Ashton Jeanty could wind up at one Patriot place.
Well, the reason behind the selection, Zach, is everybody wants this to be the draft pick. Ever since Gerard Mayo and Joe Milton did not get the order, obviously, Order 66 did not come through back in January to lose the game against the Bills. Funny how a team that went to the AFC Championship was better at losing than the team that lost more games than anyone else in the NFL last year, right? So ever since then, when they should have had their pick of people, we have wanted to obviously solidify a lot of things. But what we've been so desperate for this past year, multiple recent seasons, is excitement. There is no one else available in this draft, even 1, 2, and 3, let alone at 4, that would provide the excitement, the spark, the juice, the buzz that one of the greatest running backs this century or in recent memory in college football could provide than Ashton Jeanty. I was all aboard with this kid coming to the Patriots or being a top 5 pick before last season. Then he ran for 2 miles last year at Boise State. And the best thing is, my favorite stat is that Ashton Jeanty led college football by almost 1,000 yards in rushing last year. Ashton Jeanty, after contact, would have also led all of college football in rushing last year. And then when I rediscovered that the Players Tribune was actually a thing, and read that on the road length letter that he wrote to NFL GMs, coaches, and prospective teammates last week, saying, if I were the guy making the picks, I would choose the guy you can't tackle because football is a tackle game. It was humble. It was confident. It was braggadocious, and it was serious. And that's what this team needs. Sure, you can tell me right now, we need a left tackle. Oh, we need a deep threat. Oh, there's this team. No team has more needs than the New England Patriots. And all of that can be true. Two, three, and four things can be true at once, Gelb. But I don't think there's anyone that would be both the Patriots' defense and Drake May's best friend, like a running back that you, defenses would have to spend 6 days trying to game plan before Sunday comes around.
And here's the other thing. Now, full disclosure, I wanted them to get Abdul Carter. He's off the board here. I don't think it's likely he's there at four. But you look at the coach that they just brought in Mike Vrabel. When did he have success at Tennessee? It was with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Well, Drake May, I think, is better than Ryan Tannehill. The Patriots have Ramondre Stevenson right now. They need a little extra excitement on the offensive side of the ball. No really elite wide receivers because Diggs is coming off the injury. And I talked to Ashton Jeanty back in September, and I said, hey, you remind me of a combination of Marshawn Lynch, Alvin Kamara, and then, yes, Derrick Henry. So with the way that Mike Vrabel likes to run a football team, it kind of does make sense, especially when the way that we lay this out right now.
He's basically like a miniature Derrick Henry with Barry Sanders moves, or you could describe him as a muscled-up LaDainian Tomlinson. Two running backs that help their team feed, maybe not necessarily win, but each team's situation and circumstances is different and should not be judged by another. When you have – you talk about like begging the New England Patriots. You and I talked about this when we hung out at Gillette last year and when you jumped on the Six Rings podcast with me. The Patriots need to promise us they're going to take the best player available. Just hit Yahoo Auto Draft time and again and let that be the dictum for who they select so they can stockpile talent. You can't tell me anybody else is better at that position, or rather position number four in the draft. Like, you can tell me, okay, they're going to go get Will Campbell and he's going to be an angry Cajun Matt Light, and then they'll get, you know, discount Derrick Henry and Quinshon Judkins and Jalen Noel. And I'll say, that's a really good draft, but it's not as exciting as watching Ashton Jeanty try to take it to the house 18 to 27 times each and every Sunday, making Drake May that much more explosive no matter who he's throwing to.
I'm with you, and I love it, Fitzy, from WEEI. With that being said, though, I still anticipate that it's going to be Will Campbell come Thursday night. What are you hearing about how the Patriots view Will Campbell?
In my best Will Campbell voice, which sounds something like a combination of Ed Ogeron and Sling Blade, I guess we're just going to have to get used to Will Campbell, the guy who's probably more of a guard than a tackle, coming in Foxborough and trying to make a difference on the blind side of Drake May. Yeah, what I'm hearing from every national reporter, from people that I know inside the building. And last week, I was lucky enough to MC a fundraiser for our friend Boston Herald writer Doug Kayyad, who lost his daughter to leukemia last year to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And he assembled a fabulous panel of NFL and Boston Patriot beat writers and experts. And to a man, each and every one of them said, sorry, get used to it. Will Campbell, number four, New England Patriots. So it is what it is, kid.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
With all the speculation and chaos, it's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2025 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on Infinity Sports Network in 3, 2, 1. With the 5th overall pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select
Tenoroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona.
There we go. The Jacksonville Jaguars have made their selection with the 5th overall pick in the Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft. That is the voice of JP Shadrick, who is a team reporter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So with this pick is true, you have Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver. He was sensational last year. Liam Cohen is now the head football coach, and there's still an uncertainty about Trevor Lawrence. If this is what Trevor Lawrence has to work with for 2025, what do you think he could still be as an NFL quarterback?
When you have a basketball team on the outside, basically is what they would have at this point. If McMillan is the pick, then you've got, you know, ability to throw it down the field and a little more confidence in one-on-one situations down the field and just letting it go. So I think that's what they're trying to do around here with a new head coach, a new offense, and a quarterback who's now in his third different offense in the NFL. Give him as many opportunities, as many weapons as they can, and give him enough confidence to be able to stand in there and throw it down the field. And it starts in the offensive line with that, but you still have to have weapons down the field to be able to get that done. And having Brian Thomas with Tet McMillan, okay, that's a pretty good combo at wide receiver.
I like to do this exercise a day before the draft because so much could change. And when I knew that we were going to have you on without knowing who everyone else was picking, like a month ago, I would have said, okay, Mason Graham would have been the pick at 5. That's what everyone's saying. Then the last 24 to 48 hours, there's been a lot of buzz about Ashton Jeanty. Now, in this exercise, surprisingly, Ashton Jeanty did just go at 4 to the Patriots, thanks to our old pal Fitzy from Sports Radio WEEI. What are you hearing about the potential buzz that is growing on Ashton Jeanty maybe actually being the selection come tomorrow night for the Jaguars at 5?
It's a good question. And, I think Travis Hunter would be the guy, right? Let's start with that. If he's there, he's not going to be there at 5, right? But if not, what is the next best explosive overall player? They've got pass rushers already. Abdul Carter might be gone as well. So Ashton Gentry proved in the last 2 years that he can carry the load if you need him to, 30 snaps a game or 30 carries a game. He did that a lot last year at Boise State. He can take it the distance. He's hard to tackle. As he said the other day, it's tackle football, and I'm hard to tackle, right? I love that quote. I mean, that makes sense to me. He's 5'8", and he can bring it. I mean, remember, Maurice Jones-Drew was 5'7", a little bit wider than Ashton. So they've had that kind of style running back around here before. And that goes back to our conversation about this offense and giving more weapons. And this would give him more balance in the offense. Remember, Travis Etienne Jr. is now in the final year coming up of his rookie contract. It's the fifth-year option season for him coming up. So there's no guarantee he's going to be around for a whole lot longer after this season. So this kind of checks a couple boxes with that. You get a running back who can bring it and really kind of scare this defense on the other side and start to balance things out. Play action game comes into play for Trevor. Roll out game, which he's really good at. Okay, now that makes a lot of sense to me. If Genty's there and all those others are gone, I think for me that would be the pick at number five.
Hey, before we let you run, JP, just when we get to Liam Cohen, when he was hired, I think the initial response was, okay, that's the second best offensive mind on the market after Ben Johnson. Then he had the whole Duvall moment, and we made a lot out of that. What has the last few months been like in the early tenure of one Liam Cohen?
It's been super steady. I guess that's probably the best word for it. He has a clear understanding of how he wants this organization and the culture of this building, if you're into that word, which they are here. He has a clear understanding of what that needs to be and how to implement that and how to win over the players who have been around here and have been through different iterations of leadership over the years. And he's a younger mindset, right? He and the GM are both in their 30s still, which is a polar opposite of what's been around here the last three regimes especially. So a little more relatable, I think, to the players that are on the roster. That's a good start. And I think that's been, it's just been a steady, you know, changeover for the offense and for the head coach and Liam Cohen. And besides his pronunciation of Duvall aside, everything else has been just fine. I think he's got past that with a lot of grace.
Tedrone McMillan off the board. That's JP Chadwick. Does a great job covering the Jaguars. We go from Duvall to Sin City as the Las Vegas Raiders are next up on the clock.
With the sixth overall pick, the Las Vegas Raiders select
Armon Membu, the big offensive tackle from the University of Missouri.
There you go. The Raiders have made their selection six overall. Vinny Bonsignor does a great job covering the team for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So, Vinny, it's kind of crazy how this stuff works, and this is why I love to do this a day before the draft. A lot of people for the last 3 weeks or so would have probably said Ashton Genty would have been the selection here at six. Genty, though, is now off the board. What do you make of the recent developments where a lot of people think Genty's going to be off the board at six, and then why do you think the Raiders end up going with Membu?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually talked to somebody this morning who thinks the opposite. He thinks that Genty will be there when the Raiders pick at number six, that nobody's going to trade up for him ahead of the Raiders, or that Jacksonville's going to take him. Hey, we'll all find out tomorrow, right? It's crazy how these things go. But if Genty isn't there, then I think that they want to rebuild the offensive line or help the offensive line. There's some nice pieces there, or the defensive line. So I could also see a Mason Graham being a possibility at that spot, a Will Campbell from LSU, another tackle who I believe was still on the board at that point. But I'll tell you this too. I really think the Raiders want to trade down. I think they have a real comfort level with about five to six players. But they aren't so madly in love with any one over the other in that cluster that they can't live without one of those guys. So I think that they would prefer, whether it's from 12, 11, 10, you know, 9, to maybe give them a call, trade down, still get a player that they really like, but also maybe pick up a second-round pick and considerations for their trouble. But I think that Ashton Genty is one of the few difference makers, the immediate difference makers, and potentially so. We have to always preface it with that in this draft. If I'm the Raiders and Ashton Genty is there, that would be my pick.
So there could be some wheeling and dealing from John Spytek, not only down in the first round, but then maybe back up in the first round, or just staying put with the second selection in at 37, because there's all this speculation about what the Raiders are going to do at quarterback. Shador Sanders has been thrown out there for the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, the Saints, the Steelers. What are you hearing on the Raiders' level of interest in Shedeur Sanders if they could find a way to get him with their second selection?
Yeah, I think that would be a great scenario if they could do that at 37. And if you back it up to what we were just talking about with the trade down scenario, and if they can pick up a second round pick for their trouble, the Chicago Bears have the 41st pick overall in the second, in that second round. And the Dallas Cowboys at number 12 have the 44th pick in the second round. The Raiders already have 37. And here's what the point I guess I'm trying to make is that the Raiders don't need a quarterback right now. They've got Geno Smith, and they've got him under contract for the next couple of years. So if they only have the 37th pick, man, maybe they got to go get a, if they don't get Genty in the first round, maybe that's where they get the running back or a wide receiver or a cornerback. But if you have 2 second round picks, now maybe the appetite to draft a quarterback that's going to pay off a little bit down the line. You don't need him to play right now because you have a pick at 41 or 44, if they traded with the Chicago Bears or Dallas Cowboys, to now address a more immediate need as well. So you would kind of have your cake and eat it too. You'd be able to get a player in the second round who can help you right now, but also get the quarterback presumably of your future. So that's why, again, that trade down scenario makes a lot of sense for the Raiders, and it enables them to get one more bite at the apple and not sacrifice the future for the present or vice versa. Because you have two cracks at that apple in that second round.
And who knows, maybe they even get more ammunition to then trade back up into the first round, which could be a possibility. Has there been a leak at all? You know, Spytek, new GM, Brady, obviously he knows a thing or two about quarterback play. We know Cam Ward is off the board at one, and then it's a bunch of question marks here on what's going to happen the rest of the way. Has there been maybe a preference or a leak on what the Raiders could potentially do at quarterback if they're going to look at the draft?
Yeah, they did a lot of homework on their quarterbacks, and they brought in pretty much everybody. If you still have some throws in your right arm, they might have brought you in for a personal visit. But, you know, I say that facetiously, but they really did. They did a lot of homework on this class. Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Jalen Miller, all of those quarterbacks, Tyler Shuck from Louisville, came through their building in Henderson. You only get 30 picks, and I think they had about five or six quarterbacks that came through. So that tells you a little bit. And John Spotag told us that was not by accident. They really wanted to do their homework on them. Quinn Ewers is somebody I think that they've been linked to. Jalen Milroe, I think, is someone that they would have an appreciation for. If you could get Shedeur Sanders at 37 or trade up to the end of the first round to get him, that's pretty palatable for them. We all know the connections between Tom Brady and Shedeur Sanders. They've worked together. He's been a mentor to Shedeur Sanders. He signed him to an NIL deal before those were even really a thing with his TB12 brand. So there's a massive connection between Tom Brady and Shedeur Sanders. That makes a lot of sense. Jalen Milroe probably has the most upside of this draft class. He would fit really well with the timeline for Geno Smith. Being able to bring Jalen along slowly and try to pour some development time into him. Also be able to get him on the field really early in situational packages. So he makes a lot of sense. Trading back up in the first round to get one of those guys, I can't rule that out necessarily because you get that fifth year option in play as well. So a lot of different directions that they can go in, and a lot of quarterbacks that they've been connected to. Will Howard played for Chip Kelly, the new Raiders offensive coordinator last year at Ohio State. Does that help him or hurt him? Nobody knows Will Howard more than Chip Kelly, and that includes the upsides and also some of the flaws and some of the warts. So I don't know if that necessarily helps him or hurts him. I guess we'll find out on draft day if they're there in the fourth round and they pick a Will Howard there or in the fifth round.
He's Vinny Bonsignore. It's a great job covering the Raiders with Las Vegas Review Journal. Taking Armin Membu out of Missouri with the 6th overall pick. We go from Las Vegas all the way across the country to New York as we have the Jets next up on the clock.
With the 7th overall pick, the New York Jets select
Ty Warren, tight end, Penn State.
There you go. That's the voice of Brandon Tierney from BT and Sal on WFAN. Obviously, you know him all these years when he did host here on this network. And BT, I appreciate you doing this. I love this pick for Tyler Warren going to the Jets because you got Breece Hall, you got Garrett Wilson, and now you can get a true evaluation of what Justin Fields could be as a quarterback.
I got to tell you, listen, as much as I'm going with the Ty Warren pick, that's not my first choice. My first choice was really when you look at an offensive line perspective. I would rather build this from the guts out, something the Jets never do. But because the kid from Missouri's gone, I got to pivot. And I was thinking about Campbell, and you do some research on Campbell, who mm-hmm. I think could, you know, I don't know where he's going to go necessarily, but I look at the Jets, and Olu Fashanu was phenomenal, graded out very well on the left side. I didn't want to take Campbell, who doesn't play on the right side at all and has short arms and some of these other things that
alligator
they say.
Arms, yeah, they say,
it's, not only does he not pick up the check, but he might not be able to disengage.
We're talking about Samter or Will Campbell.
Exactly. So I love Ty Warren, and I'm very confident with the pick, but my first instinct, I wanted to go lineman, but the one that I wanted was gone.
So that's an anomaly, I think, from the Jet fan, because a lot of Jet fans are probably saying, ugh, another offensive lineman? Why do we have to go with another offensive lineman? Your response to Jet fans would be what? That's
get it, over right? it. I think Jet fans, and I've been guilty of this as well, too often you want the shiny object. You want the receiver. You want the tight end. I know I just took one here. But, you know, you want the splash corner. You want the quarterback. Think about when the Jets have been good, and it's been a while, but to jar the memory, how did it get going? To Brickashaw Ferguson, fourth overall pick, Nick Mangold in the 20s out of Ohio State. When you stabilize the offensive line, it doesn't matter. Well, first of all, you stop chasing. And when you stop chasing, you can now operate with a clear head, which I think the Jets, the new regime, can actually do right now. They're not sitting there saying, well, we have Rodgers for another year. If we do this, we'll accelerate our growth and maybe win a Super Bowl. I just think this is the practical way of building out a team. Now, you can make the case that maybe you could go defensive lineman, have more of a defensive identity. There are a few other options here, but I think that from an offensive line perspective, once you start with that, and they've got enough components now for me to justify if I take it a tight end, now you could start to add to it and say, okay, whether Fields is really good for us for a year or two, or he's gone in a year, whatever it might be, we've got the foundation of a team and a tight end eventually who could go out there and be a mismatch, but also an offensive line that can win in the trenches. You haven't said that for a decade with this team. It's been a joke. We all know that. So if you're thinking that you don't want a lineman, or you're thinking about you're tired of things that don't appear sexy, ask yourself this, Jet fans, where have all the sexy picks gotten us? Nowhere. Nowhere.
Order! Order! Order!
Enough with all the speculation and chaos. It's time for the only mock draft that matters. The 2025 Zach Gelb Show Top 10 Mock Draft on Infinity Sports Network in 3, 2, 1. With the 8th overall pick, the Carolina Panthers select
Jalen Walker, linebacker, Georgia.
There you go. That's the voice of T-Bone from Mac and Bone on WFNZ in Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers, they take Jalen Walker out of Georgia with the 8th overall selection. So you look at this defense, Bone. You have Derrick Brown. You got J.C. Horn. If those guys could stay healthy, those are some good foundational pieces. Why did you elect to bring Jalen Walker in as the trio to that defense?
Yeah, just a versatile guy. I mean, it's not even hyperbole to say the Panthers, the worst defense of all time a year ago. So they need defensive help, not only the first round, beyond the other rounds. And this guy feels like he's a high-character guy. He's from 30 minutes away from where the Panthers play here in Charlotte. He's from Salisbury, North Carolina. So he's got ties to the area. He's a leader. He's a film guy. I'm not saying that the expectation is that he's going to be Luke Kuechly, but it feels kind of like he's that type of guy for this team. He's going to lead. He's going to be the first guy in the room. And that is what this team needs. They need that third guy, that third dog that you're talking about, with J.C. Horn and Derrick Brown. So you add Derrick Brown back in there. You've re-signed J.C. Horn. Let this guy be that next piece and try to build this defense. Even to be average is where this defense is trying to be in the short term.
And you know this, the Panthers are no stranger to picking early in this draft. They're a little bit later than normal, especially the last few years. Bryce Young, not that long ago, was the number one overall selection. Year one was a disaster. Year two really did turn things around. Where is the confidence meter of the Carolina Panthers fan right now when it comes to their young quarterback entering year three?
It's so much higher than it was, say, you know, week 4 or 5 a year ago. It's amazing that we're in draft time and we're actually not talking about quarterbacks for once around here. Let the other teams figure out in this weak draft class who that guy is. But, yeah, Dave Canales, you know, he did magical work with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield, and, you know, you saw it last year. It was never a talent issue. It was a confidence issue, and they had to raise it back up to a certain level, and you started to see a little bit of Bama Bryce at the end there. Nearly beat Tampa, nearly beat the Eagles, nearly beat the Chiefs. there's a long way to go, but I think that with that confidence being high and the whole entire offensive line is back, the whole coaching staff is back. His first offseason, he had three playbooks before he got to training camp. Like, not even counting all the coaching changes and all the stuff that went on in the season. Dude had three playbooks before he got to camp. No one can survive that. So he's got continuity now. He's got his confidence back. We're feeling really good about Bryce Young right now.
So there you go. Jalen Walker, some more SEC players going into the Carolina Panthers. He is off the board. And now we will head down to New Orleans, and we'll see what the Saints have cooking in at 9.
With the 9th overall pick, the New Orleans Saints select
Mykael Williams, edge rusher, outside linebacker, University of Georgia.
So there you go. Mykael Williams is off the board from the going to the New Orleans Saints. And now Bobby Aber does a great job for WWL and also is obviously a former NFL quarterback and a member of the Saints Hall of Fame. Why do you think the Saints needed to address defense here when there's been a lot of speculation of potentially taking a quarterback for Kellen Moore?
Well, he's outstanding against the run, and the Saints obviously got to get a whole lot better on the run defense. And I think he's a Brandon Staley type of guy, kind of going old school dome patrol. He kind of reminds you like of a Pat Swilling. Could get after the opposing quarterback. You know, Pat Swilling was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, you know, back in my day. And he's also good enough in coverage. And he's a specimen. He's only 20 years of age. So I think he can have an immediate impact because with that 9th pick, you have to have a starter. You can't be developing anyone. And I think Mykael Williams is that guy that'll start instantly for the New Orleans Saints.
So, Bobby, you have the Saints pass it up at a QB at 9. We know that they do have an early second-round pick as well. Are you definitely anticipating them with then their next pick potentially going on out there and taking a quarterback, or could you see them punting altogether through the first two rounds?
No, I could see with the 40th pick in the second round definitely going QB, but I don't think it's a Shedeur Sanders. I don't think Jackson Dart would be available. I know they're interested in Jackson Dart and Milroe. I mean, at the 40th pick, the upside with him, I know he burned LSU and a lot of the folks around here. We know Jared Milroe, what he did as a running quarterback. But I look at him, and, you know, and I was covering Atlanta at the time. He's Michael Vick was unbelievable. And then you look at Lamar Jackson. You can go to Cam Newton. I just don't know him as a passer, but they'd be more developmental. But I wouldn't be surprised maybe if they'd go like for Milroe, maybe with that 40th pick in the second round. But I don't think they'd go in the direction of Shedeur Sanders.
He's Bobby Aber, the former NFL quarterback, member of the Saints Hall of Fame, taking Mykael Williams with the 9th overall selection. We go from New Orleans to the Windy City as the Chicago Bears are next up on the clock.
With the 10th overall pick, the Chicago Bears select
Will Campbell, LSU offensive tackle.
There we go. The Chicago Bears wrap up the top 10, taking Will Campbell out of LSU. Let's go and welcome in David Hall from Mully and Hall on the Score in Chicago. David, there's been a lot of speculation about this 10th overall pick. Ashton Jeanty not available. Tyler Warren not available here at 10. Those would be my preferences for the Bears. But they revamped their offensive line this offseason. It doesn't guarantee, though, that they fix it. So I have no problem here if Chicago ends up taking an offensive lineman.
If Ashton Jeanty isn't there, you need to address the offensive line because that was the focus of free agency. It should remain the focus of the draft. You want to make this an offseason that is not just transitional, but transformational. And that's what rebuilding your offensive line would do. And that's what drafting Will Campbell would accomplish because he could be there for the next 5 to 8 to 10 years. Draft yourself a fixture. You need a left tackle.
If we got a little sneaky here with the Bears at 10, because, like I said, Jeanty could be a preference. Maybe Tyler Warren. If both are off the board, the next best running back is Omarion Hampton. The next best tight end would be Colston Loveland. Could you see a world where not necessarily the Bears taking either of those players at 10, but maybe trading back a few spots and still getting one of those players to add to their offense?
Maybe trading back or maybe taking Colston Loveland. I think they like him. The comp might be Sam Laporta. We know what Ben Johnson thinks of him. So you wonder if a guy who can run routes and get open with good hands could do in this Bears offense. Cole Kmet could be the complement. Loveland could be the main target at tight end. I think that if he's there, they would be very tempted if those other two guys are off the board.
What's the feeling in Chicago right now? I know with the Bears, it's always expect the worst, expect to be let down. Caleb Williams now going into year two. You bring in the Brainiac, in Ben Johnson. Ryan Poles still running the show. Give me the lay of the land right now and the confidence meter for the Bears fan.
Ben Johnson has the confidence at a high level, higher than even last offseason when they drafted Caleb Williams, because there's a belief that he knows what he's doing. And I think that as we can look at this draft, you're always looking at the general manager, but this doesn't feel like Ryan Poles' fourth draft as much as it feels like Ben Johnson's first. It will be his voice that I think carries the loudest, and I think it will be his imprint on this roster.
What do you expect this year, regardless of who they pick coming up on Thursday? What do you expect this year out of Caleb Williams?
I expect the Bears to win more games than they lose. I expect Caleb Williams to take a major leap forward in terms of progress and just command of the position. I expect him to have more time. And with that time, as we know, that he'll improve his accuracy. Guys will be schemed open, and then also have more time to find them behind an offensive line that has been revamped.
And that will conclude our Zach Gelb Show 2025 Top 10 Mock Draft. Once again, Cam Ward to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, Abdul Carter to the Giants, Ashton Jeanty surprise to the Patriots, Jaguars go with Tet McMillan, Raiders go with Armin Membu, Jets with Tyler Warren, Jalen Walker to the Panthers at 8, Micah Williams to the Saints at 9, and Will Campbell to the Bears at 10. Jeanty at 4, stunner, no Mason Graham in the top 10 as well, a stunner. And we appreciate our experts for joining us from the 10 NFL cities. By the way, it's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll take a timeout when we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. A man who's driving to the draft right now is going to join us on his drive, and that is the Pro Football Hall of Famer, the legendary, here we go, Brownies, here we go, Joe Thomas is going to join us on the other side. Is he on board with the Browns taking Travis Hunter at 2? Who does he want at quarterback? We find out next!
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.